You're listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.
We have been in this series for a couple of weeks now. I think this is the third one. And I wanted to preface this a little bit this morning. We're talking about this. The subject is Spirit of Excellence. We start out in Daniel chapter 6, which we'll briefly look at again this morning, verse 3, where it says that the king in Babylon, which at that time stretched from like India to Egypt, I mean, it was a big place. It was a big government. And the king saw character qualities in Daniel that made him think to elevate him above all of his rulers, all of his governors, all of that. It says presidents and satraps, which means presidents and governors. Their system of government was such that actually the Greeks came along and adopted a lot of it later. So we're talking about character qualities. And we're going to see over and over that primarily the character qualities that we're going to be talking about, that God, you know, that this king looked at and could see in Daniel's life. So they weren't hidden. They came out in what he did and how he did it. And we're going to be looking at those character qualities, and we'll see that really they're qualities of God's own character. Okay? And I just want to bring this up today as we begin to talk about this, that those kinds of qualities, I never want anybody to hear. They're pretty strong, and none of us are perfect in them. And I don't want anybody to hear this as like a challenge. Oh, I need to make myself more faithful. I need to make myself have greater honesty, greater integrity, whatever it is we go into. I want you to think of these things as fruit of your relationship with God, not achievements, something for you to try and earn or you to try to work at. And sometimes when we're getting into these things, they're such glorious things that we see, and we see this person being promoted in life because of them. You can feel like what we're saying is it's somehow a challenge to you, or maybe you might think that what the Lord is saying, it's a challenge to you to, you know, pull yourself up, get it done. And I want you to realize these things are fruit. They're not achievements. You're not going to, and realize all of us are in process and always will be. And I want to talk about that with you just as we're just going to lay a little more foundation, which we've done for the last 2 weeks. This is just how I do it. We come to a topic. There's always foundation to lay before we actually hit the topic. And the reason for that is because I want us to get the context. I want us to understand what we're talking about and be able to approach it much the same way. And then we always do a little bit of review, because all of us go out into the world, go out into crazy world, you know, through the week or a couple weeks or whatever it is. And we just want to gather back up around this subject. And this is just how we do it. So again, what all that Daniel did here, this is Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Let's make sure everything's working today. It says that the King James there says, Daniel so distinguished himself. But when you look at what he did, all he did was live a life of unwavering devotion to God. And then that was just so what God was doing in his life and his faith toward God and his commitment to the Lord was just so evident in all that he did. There was wisdom there that other people didn't have. He had a prophetic gift, so he read the dreams of the king when nobody else could. He ended up being put over all of the demonic witchcraft magicians of Babylon. He ended up being put in charge of those guys. There's a whole thought there that we're not going to go into, because we live in a culture that gives itself very much so to things that are not of God, to attitudes and ideas. And so anyway, but all he did was demonstrate in his life this devotion to God. And a lot of it was through, he didn't compromise. He didn't lay down his morals and ethics in the face of serious persecution. You know, serious persecution like you'll be dead. His three friends got thrown into the fiery furnace, right? And there was another with them in the fire. We sing it all the time. All right, so I mean, you know, it wasn't just being bullied online. You know, it wasn't that kind of thing that he was facing. But there was this no compromise attitude in him. And that's what he did. He stood his ground. So when we talk about these qualities, and we are going to at least start into that today, again, I felt like we needed to go back over to John chapter 15 just for a few minutes this morning, because I want it really ingrained in us today that what we are talking about is not us just gutting out, making our character better. I don't really believe in that. We do participate wholeheartedly with what God is doing on the inside of us so that we bear fruit. Let's just look here at John 15. We're just going to read verses 4 and 5. You guys are very familiar with them, but Jesus said this. He said, "Abide in me," and we all know that means make your home in me. That's what that term abide means. Settle down in me. Don't just come and go, right? He's not just a side note. We make our home in him and in his word. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Okay? So what Jesus describes here, becoming more like him, okay, seeing his character traits in us, which we call the fruit of the Spirit in the New Testament, that is an organic, relational life process. And that's what he's saying. We're the branches. He's the vine. You got to stay plugged in to that flow of sap or whatever vines have. I'm not a vine expert. I always think of trees, okay? But it's the same thing. Fruit trees that are going to bear fruit, a branch has to be attached to the tree. We know this, okay? The reason for that is because that life comes up through the roots and through the tree and into the branch, and that's what produces that fruit. And so when we think about these character traits, he says, on the one hand, this is so simple, and yet it's not always easy to do. But we've got to make choices in our life so that we are staying plugged into him. We've got to spend time with him. I think the Amplified Bible here says that this is a vital union, meaning a living union. The Bible's not a textbook, and it's not just a self-help book. It's life. It's food. We need to treat our time with him more like a meal than we do like a class. And I mean, there is that aspect. We do receive information from him and wisdom from him, but that's not what changes us. That's not what heals us on the inside. You know, some of us are carrying wounds and they need to be healed, and it's that vital union. And it doesn't, we are such an immediate culture. It's like, you know, oh, what do you want to know about this subject? Oh, just Google it. We'll get that answer in 10 seconds. We'll know, I mean, it might be wrong, but we'll know what the internet says about a certain subject in seconds, you know. Oh, you got a pain? Just take a pill. I mean, we're not real good about realizing, hey, this is a life process, and it's going to go on my whole life. And I'm not saying sometimes God brings really quick healing or really quick deliverance or really quick wisdom, But sometimes it takes a while. It's organic. It's seed being planted, germinating, growing, and then beginning to produce in our lives. And so we need some patience, okay? And we need to just love that interaction with him. He loves that interaction with us. But see, the difference here, so if the branch stays plugged in, oh, and I just wanted to comment on this, you know, we do have to participate, and that's what the staying plugged in is. I'm not saying just, oh, Jesus will just do this, and I don't want you to hear that. We need to participate with him. That means we're going to have to give him some of our time and attention. He needs to be first place in our life. I mean, there's just no, he needs to be a real high priority above other things. And he says, you know, without him, you can do nothing, but realize we're never without him. You know, we can unplug, but we are never without him. What he did at that cross made this, if you've given your life to Jesus, if you have asked him to be your Lord and Savior, you are plugged into him. And he is not going to unplug you. Okay? But the difference is that branch doesn't have a choice. It's connected to the vine. Karen and I were just talking this morning about how powerful choice is. Our right, I guess, our privilege as his children, as a certain type of his creation, to have a certain kind of relationship with him, we have choice. That branch doesn't have choice. It can't, you know, it's plugged into the vine, life is coming, supposed to bear grapes. It can't just say, well, I think I'm a pear. I'm going to make pears. I know you think I'm supposed to make grapes, Jesus, but I'm, and it may be, I know with me, I get more pear-shaped as time goes on, but I'm not a pear tree. I'm whatever he says I am. And, but we have that choice, and we can decide, I don't like that part of what you're trying to change in me, or I don't think I need to produce that kind of fruit. I identify as something else. Whatever it might be, we have choice. We have choice about how we use our time. We have choice about how much we let him minister to us. Is this making sense to you? But the actual process of character development, you know, we can gut it out to a degree, but it's better to participate with him and let him lead in our discipleship. Let him lead in our transformation. He knows what he needs to deal with first and second and third and fourth in your life. And a lot of times we think it's something different. I know I did. There were things, especially early on, where I was like, how come I'm not feeling convicted about this? You'd think I would have just said, I know this is wrong, so why don't I stop doing it? But he was changing certain things in a certain order, and I kind of got to where I would just let him do that. And it's, you know, I still believe in that really strongly. I hope this is making sense to you. But so we want to, he says in verses 7 and 8, that the Father is glorified when we bear fruit. We actually bring glory to God when we bear fruit. And the way that we do that is we let him, we make our home in him. I'm going to live in you. You're my life. I'm going to live in your word. Doesn't mean you don't do anything else. It means his word holds that kind of place. I'm going to live in and by your word, and I want your word to feel totally at home in me. I don't want any doors locked. I don't want any part of my life off limits to you. Even if I'm afraid of what you might see or what you might do, and for this, we've got to have some comfort in who he is. We've got to remember what he did for us, what the Father sent his only Son to die for us. The Son, elsewhere in the scripture, basically volunteered for it. And he came, and that was all done because of love. And if he's got that kind of love for us, he's not going to harm us. He's not going to harm us. we can give ourselves to that kind of relationship. So again, you know, I just, as we start, we're going to talk about faithfulness a little bit today as one of the first attributes. And I just want you to just refuse. If you start hearing voices of condemnation, well, you did this and you don't do that and blah, blah, blah. No. Just let what God is saying, let what the Word is saying to us come into your heart and begin to work there. Absolutely, we have to refuse to see things like this as burdens to carry, you know, because we teach a lot of big truths, and I just really want you to know that the reason this you're getting this and the reason the Lord is emphasizing this to us is so that he can lift us up, so that he can bear fruit through us. It's a good thing. So if you're hearing condemnation, if you're hearing I'm not enough because we're going to talk about faithfulness or whatever, if you're hearing voices of condemnation, I just want you to know, number one, that's not coming from my heart. Number two, it's definitely not coming from God's heart. And so just try to shut those voices out and listen to what he's saying, because he's just pouring life into you. Does that make sense to you? I hope so. All right, so let's talk about faithfulness. I love this subject. And the reason I love it so much is because it's such a core characteristic of God's nature. And that's really what we need to know first, and we'll look at that in just a minute, that God is faithful. But here's, when we look at the Bible, a lot of times the definitions in the scripture are just a little bit different than what you might find in your dictionary or something, especially these days. Dictionaries are getting a little weird. But so the term faithfulness means to be trustworthy, okay? Worthy of trust. Somebody can trust you. There's something on the inside of you that makes you trustworthy. So it means a thorough and consistent, that you are thorough and consistent in the performance of duty. So if you have a job or you have something, a role in something, you volunteer for something, you know, whatever it is, there's something in your life that you know that you are supposed to be doing. You're thorough in doing it. So you don't just do just the minimum, right? You're thorough and you're consistent. You don't just start doing it and then you're off doing something else, and then you start doing it, and then you're off doing something else. This is what faithfulness is. And when we think about God, we can really think about how thorough and consistent he is in all that he says. So then it means that we are reliable. Okay, somebody can rely on us. And it's just real easy to think about in my life, can people rely on me? Can they believe that if I said something, I'm going to do it? If I said I was going to be there a certain time, I'm going to be there. If I'm going to carry out a job or do whatever it is or fulfill a role in somebody's life, am I going to do it? Okay, that's faithfulness. It's just doing what we're supposed to do and doing it well. And here's the hard part, doing it with a good attitude. That's where it gets really really tough sometimes, and that's where we really need the grace of God, because we need the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. When you look at Daniel, if you read through the book of Daniel, it's one of the things you see very clearly in him is faithfulness. He stuck to what he was supposed to do, and he did it well, and he did it thoroughly. And, you know, for us, again, to me, I can make myself do stuff. Where I get busted is, yeah, but your attitude stinks. You can hide it, but sometimes my attitude stinks. So if you have a wife, okay, they will let you know when your attitude stinks. And that's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. Quiet, Tim. Just look straight ahead. Just look straight ahead. It means to be firm in adherence to promises. Okay? Firm in adherence to promises. So it means if I say I'm going to do something, I'm firm in adherence to that. Now, the part of that that gets important is I can't say I'm going to do everything. I can't even say I'm going to do everything I want to do. I sure can't say I'm going to do everything, and this can be really hard, that other people want me to do. That can be just such a huge trap where we've learned to, we all want people to like us, and so sometimes we'll commit to things, only we're not really committing, but we'll, you know, we'll say we're going to do things, or say we're going to be there, whatever, when we really are not firmly committed to that. And it's because, you know, we want people to like us. It's not a good, the better way to have people appreciate you is to be firm in adherence to promises. And all of us have to learn how to not make promises we can't keep. Or if we make the promise, every good intention, and then we figure out along the way we're not going to be able to do that, then we communicate. Okay? Because all of us, I mean, we need to be able to communicate. We need to be able to say, hey, you know what? I know I said this, but I can't. I can't do this, as it turns out. I'm sorry. You know, how can I make it right? Or whatever. Okay? But just communicate. And, you know, now everybody's got this term, you know, about being ghosted, you know, when people say they're going to do something and then you just, it goes silent, you never hear from them. You know, that's not faithfulness. Okay, you okay so far?
Yep.
So firm in adherence to promises made or implied. Ooh, that gets scary too. Made or implied. So one of the things about committing to something is when you commit to one thing, a lot of times you're committing to a whole group of things. And you may or may not have thought about that before. But, you know, a lot of times when we commit to one thing, when I commit to my wife to marry her, I'm also committing not to have other girlfriends, okay? Not to even, I believe this with all my heart, not to maintain opposite sex close friendships as I move into marriage. It's just a bad idea. It will get you in trouble. Just don't do it. I commit to putting this person as first in my life. I make those commitments. When I commit to a job, I commit to a time to be there. I commit to, you know, those kinds of things. It's just so a lot of times before we make a commitment, it's really because a promise will often imply a number of other promises. And I'm not just talking about we all make mistakes or we miscommunicate and we do this all the time. We have a framework of what we think the other person said as they were making that commitment, and we didn't understand each other. Okay, cool. Then we need to come back as we discover that, oh, I had this expectation, you had that expectation, and we need to clarify that with each other in peace and in love with one another as much as possible. It may be that it turns out that, well, that this isn't a good position for you, or this isn't going to work out. It may be, but we can do it, especially as brothers and sisters. We can do all that with and still honor one another and love one another. And that to me is, man, you got to have God involved in that. That's something we have to grow into. Is this making sense to you? So, but promises implied or specifically spoken, it means to be honest. It means to be steadfast. I love that, personally. I like steadiness. I like longevity in things. I think it's healthy. I think it's really strong, okay? It means to be loyal. There's an aspect of faithfulness that is about loyalty. And loyalty, that means to be steadfast, again, in affection and allegiance, okay? So the faithful person doesn't just bounce from one thing to the other, to the other, to the other. They've got some loyalty in their life. And loyalty really shows up when we're having problems. It really shows up when everything isn't what you hoped it would be. Okay? And again, sometimes there's a place for disengaging from something, but not right away. And we, again, I don't mean to always be critical of our society. There's some good things in our society, but there's not a lot of loyalty anymore. There's just kind of a lot of, okay, is this doing for me everything I need it to do? And if it's not, I'm going to go find something else. And we're seeing that in marriages. We're seeing that in really important things. We're seeing that certainly in churches. We're seeing that in jobs, in businesses. And loyalty is a really important aspect. And again, it doesn't mean there's never a time to move on, but we don't just bounce from one to the other with this self-serving attitude. I was just doing everything. Is everything there that I want, you know? I've had great conversations with Jamie about, you know, talking to people about, well, if not everything's there that you want, maybe you're supposed to bring that. Maybe you're the one that's supposed to bring that. And we've seen that throughout our whole history. I mean, I've told you this many times. When we first started, we didn't have children's ministry or anything. We didn't have anybody to do it. And people would come and, you guys need to have, you need to do, like us too. We were supposed to lead worship, preach the word, do have children's ministry, do the teens, do, you know, you need to do this. And we'd say, man, well, I still run into this sometimes. We would love to have more of that. We would love to have that. If that's on your heart, we'd like to help you fill that role if that's appropriate. We would love to be able to do that. Ghost. That's kind of usually the last thing you hear about that. But not always, but many times. And it's just something that we've, as a society, again, we've kind of gotten this, we just fly from one thing to the other. So part of faithfulness is loyalty. Think about how loyal God is to us. In fact, we're going to look at that in just a minute. And then that word steadfast, all right? Oh, let me read the rest of that from loyal. That person does not quickly abandon a commitment or a relationship when it becomes difficult or inconvenient. Doesn't abandon it when it becomes difficult or inconvenient. And then steadfast, displaying an unwavering dedication to truth. This word actually means a dedication to truth or to a moral or ethical standard or to an original. That's become really important to us. We have a dedication. Faithful people have a dedication to the original, which in what we're talking about is Jesus. Okay? We have a dedication to him. So we are seeking to know him, who he actually is. We are seeking to welcome his word and his person into our lives. Not trying to go out and remake him in our image. There's a lot of that going on in the church right now. A lot of it going on there. We're just saying, oh, well, Jesus is actually like this, even though the scripture says he's like that. Okay, why? Because it makes me more comfortable. It fits with my politics, whatever it is. And so a part of faithfulness, we want to be faithful to the original. We want to be faithful to Jesus. We want to be faithful to truth. Okay? We're looking as disciples to become more and more and more like him, not make him like us. Does that make sense? Okay? So that's what faithfulness is. And I believe this is the most important aspect, is knowing, getting it down deep in your heart, that God is faithful, and know that he is faithful to you. And that's by grace. So it doesn't matter if you've messed up. It doesn't matter what your past is. We receive him. He is faithful to his people. He is faithful. He loves everybody. And as we come to know that and we say, yes, Jesus, I need you in my life, and I want to make my home in you. As we do that, he is faithful to you. He will be absolutely faithful to you. God is the standard of faithfulness for us. If we want to know what faithfulness is like, we look at God. if we want to know where are we going to get faithfulness, how is this going to be built in me, he is the source. Vine and branches. Vine and branches. You with me? Are you with me? I should have said that better. So let me give you a few verses on this. The first one is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. It says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. That's a good thing to know. You're God. I'm not. Just reminding myself. You're God. I'm not. He is the faithful God, the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations. Steady, loyal, steadfast. God is all of those things. He is fully committed to his covenant. And his covenant with us is made in the blood of Jesus, not in our good works, not in our perfection, not in us being all together and having everything right. That covenant, we are grafted into a covenant between God and his Son. So when I blow it, I don't change the covenant. I don't change who God is. I may have some repenting to do. There are things I need to do on my end, but God's love doesn't change. God's commitment to that covenant, it's in the blood of Jesus. I can't ruin the blood of Jesus. My sin doesn't undo the covenant. And sometimes we feel like we did. We can feel separated from him. We sang about that this morning. We can feel separated from him, but the truth is we're not separated from him. A lot of our feelings will just lie to us. So we've got to go by the word. We've got to go by the word. So he's fully committed to that covenant. It's not changeable. Psalm chapter 145, verse 13. We could go through dozens of these scriptures, but I'm just going to give you three this morning. Psalm 145, verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. Psalm 145, 13. The Lord is faithful to all his promises, thank God, and loving toward all he has made. And then the final one for this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And that says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, true to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. If we are faithless, or if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, true to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. It takes it out of our hands. It takes us out. He's not going to change. And he's not going to change his love for you. And we all at times are unfaithful. We all blow it. Sometimes we do it on purpose. Sometimes it's a mistake. Whichever, it doesn't change God. It doesn't change the covenant. It doesn't change his love toward us. So there's always a way, it's called repentance, to get back connected to that vine and start letting that life flow through us. Is this good news or what? Okay. Last thing. So I want to give you some more of how the scripture defines a lot of this. As a principle of scripture, God's faithfulness is the foundation for our belief. We have faith in him. We can confidently put faith in him. Why? Because he's faithful. Remember, it's the same way it works from us. Is that if we are faithful, if we are reliable, if we are trustworthy, that means worthy of trust, okay, then people will trust us. And we'll see, not today, but we'll see how this functions more on a human level. I just mainly wanted to stand today on we've got to start with knowing God's faithfulness. That's how this has to start, okay? We can confidently put our trust in him because he's faithful. He's worthy of trust. So here's how that works. Number one, he never changes. We do. He doesn't. Okay, Malachi 3:6. I am God and I do not change. And he said to Israel, that's why you're not consumed. I love that. But anyway, he never changes. All right? He cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18. He cannot lie. He's not lying to you. He's truth. He is truth. And then thirdly, he watches over his word to perform it in our lives. So he never changes. He doesn't lie to us. And he actually watches over his word to perform it, where we're putting faith in what he has said. He watches over his word to perform it in our lives. That's Jeremiah 1:12. Okay, so let me just finish this up. Stay with me just a couple more minutes. In the Old Testament, there were two primary words that describe faithfulness, or that are translated as faithfulness. The first one, the primary word, referred to the unchanging and reliable nature of God and his unwavering commitment to covenant promises. Okay, so it's just about this is who God is. All right? He is unchanging. He is reliable. His nature doesn't change. He doesn't have good moods and bad moods. He doesn't have good days and bad days. He doesn't have that. He's the same all the time, and he is totally committed to his covenant promises. Okay? And what I love about that is he's the one thing in my life that I know is not going to change. And there are a lot of days as things come and go on the earth, as people change, as people leave. I mean, you know, we lose people. The older you get, you lose more of them. Good friends, you know, people go on to be with the Lord. But God doesn't change. Jobs come and go. Things happen. Health comes and goes. All this stuff happens. He doesn't change. And I don't know about you, but boy, there's a lot of times that's what sustains me is, you know what, you're the same. I can come back to you and you're the same. I can come back to you. You're going to speak your word to me again and I need to hear it. Okay. The second word for faithfulness is often translated in our Bibles, steadfast love or loving kindness. How many of you have seen those words in your Bible a lot? Steadfast love or loving kindness, but it actually literally translates to faithfulness. That steadfast love and loving kindness is actually a part of God's faithfulness. And get this, it describes an unwavering, I love this, it describes an unwavering, even stubborn loyalty to and love for his people, even when they are unloving and disloyal to him. I'm going to read that to you a couple more times. An unwavering and even stubborn loyalty to and love for his people, even when they are unloving and disloyal to him. He still keeps loving us and is loyal to us. Let that lift you. Let that give you confidence to always turn back to him. Again, especially when we sin or when there's a problem or when we've, you know, something, we can always turn back to him because he has this, I love that, a stubborn loyalty to his people and love for his people. That's amazing. That's amazing. And we can think back and all the story of Israel and all the stuff that went on, and it's not that different from what goes on these days, all right? He has a stubborn refusal to give up on you or to compromise. He has a stubborn refusal to seek repayment for a suffered wrong, okay? He paid for it himself. He made the way. He paid for it himself. This is the foundation of covenant right here, okay? He is faithful. He is stubbornly loyal. His love doesn't change. All right, and we can just think of just two examples. Jesus washed the feet of Judas along with all the others, knowing full well Judas was going to turn him in that night. And then the other one that always strikes me is with Peter. You know, Peter denies him three times. And then after the resurrection, Jesus goes specifically. They've gone, Peter leading the way, they've gone back to fishing. And Jesus shows up again on the beach, basically recreates the first time Peter met Jesus. And they've worked all night. They didn't get any fish. The whole thing again. Throw the net out on that side of the boat. They get more fish than they can. Peter jumps in the water and swims to shore while the other guys have to bring all those fish in. But it's, you know, he demonstrated his love for him. He did that specifically so that after Peter had blown it so badly, he restored him through once again demonstrating that love for him, that loyalty, that commitment to him, even when Peter had been disloyal and unloving to Jesus. He doesn't change. He's the same way for us. He's the same way in our lives. It's who he is. So next week I want to pick up on this and I want to talk about how faithfulness works on the human level. Okay? Because it is. I know we talked about that some this morning, but it's such a foundational truth for the role that God has called us to in stewarding so many things that he's given us in life. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
Let's stand up and pray this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I know at least for me, I'm just stunned when, and we've been doing this, I mean, I've known you a long time, Lord, you know, since I was 17 years old, Father, but I am constantly stunned by the depth of your love, by the depth of your steadfast commitment to your people. And every one of us, Lord, our hearts can turn toward you as we can grab hold of that. So I'm just praying today, Lord, that just from this today, from other things that you've spoken to us, for the people out there online, for the people who will hear this, pick it up on YouTube or on a podcast later, wherever somebody hears this, I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would put life and anointing on those words and just impart them into the hearts of people who need to be set free, who need to be restored, as we sang earlier, who need, Lord, to be able to come back and once again put their trust wholeheartedly in you. And Father, we trust you to do all that because once again, it's who you are. So Lord, we thank you for that. And as we go out of this place today as the Church of Jesus Christ, I know we're going to have opportunities to share this aspect of your character with others. So many don't know this about you. And Lord, we want to reach them. You love them so much. And Father, our hearts do break for people who just, for whatever reason, they've never been exposed to the truth about you. And so, Lord, we offer ourselves and we ask you, Lord, to use us and help us to share this truth with others. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, we're going to be dismissed today. We're going to say, I almost made it by 11. That was really close. All right. We are going to say on the count of three, Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin in the world. And then you guys go out there and be the church. If you need prayer, come on up afterwards. Love to pray with you about anything. All right, let's do it. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.